And in terms of today's youth being interested in publishing books similar to the one that you have published, what advice would you be able to provide someone who is really passionate about this area?
Have a rich benefactor or go to Oxford and get your classics degree.
Good advice. Eric, moving on, I wanted to mention that between 1973 and 1986, you served in the former Department of External Affairs, Canada, with responsibility for international sport relations. You monitored and advised the government on political developments in the Olympic world that impacted Canadian government relations during the Cold War. Eric, what did you learn in the course of some of those assignments?
It was a very interesting assignment. In fact, various people told me I had no reason whatever to doubt it, that it was the best job in government. And the interesting thing is that when I was assigned it, I knew nothing whatever about sport and had no interest in it. I was called into my assignments officer's cubbyhole, and he looked at me and he said, "So, Morris, you speak Russian." I said, "If that is truly what you wish, sir." Yeah. And he said, "Right, you're going to Moscow with Team Canada 74. And I said, "That's a hockey team, isn't it?" "Yes." I said, "That's really neat. But, you know, I don't know anything about sports." "You idiot, read the files." So I read the files and spent 13 years as head of international sports relations for the Department of External Affairs. It was a political assignment. It was not... It was in the category of assignments that the department at the time called functional. You had geographic officers who were responsible for political economic relations with a defined part of the world. You had functional divisions with officers in them who were responsible for anything from security and military liaison to economic relationships to law of the sea, you name it. The lawyers tended to be off in a division all their own, and we left them to it. But I was in the public affairs division, and I was responsible for making sure the government didn't get tripped up by various things that were happening in sport at the time, because it was highly politicized. I began in 1973, and I left in 1986. And that was bracketed by the 1972 Munich Olympic terrorist incident, several Canada-Russia hockey series, and then 2 years after I left, the Olympics in Seoul, which had some chance of turning into World War III because of the North-South enmity, but didn't. And so whether the International Olympic Committee liked it or not, sport was a Cold War battlefield. It was a stage on which international rivalries were acted out. And between 1976, when Canada ended up in a confrontation with the International Olympic Committee over the status of Taiwan at Montreal, and 1980, when the International Olympic Committee successfully came up with a formula for allowing both Chinas to participate, which ended up being adopted by the United Nations pretty much whole hog, you saw an evolution in the political awareness of the IOC.
What is the IOC's position in the international order?
Well, it's a very odd position, and it's almost a unique position. And it might sound blasphemous to say it, but other people have said it before. It is almost a secular religion. There are not very many international organizations that are anything like it, aside from something like the Vatican, because it is self-perpetuating, it is entirely independent, it is oligarchic, and it has a monopoly of power within its sphere, which is high-level international sport. And that makes it a very, very unique organization, and certainly not without problems of its own that come with that, as we saw in the corruption scandals at Salt Lake City, and as we may be seeing as fewer and fewer non-autocratic countries are found that will bid for the Games.
Eric, you've had a lot of extensive experience with the work that you've done. Other work that you've also done previously consists of being a returning officer for Elections Ontario, where you were responsible for the organization of provincial elections in the Toronto Centre electoral district. You actively took part in recruitment and training of polling officials, securing of voting locations, revision of voters' lists, all organizational and logistical questions related to creating an 800-person organization to run the polls on election day. Eric, please discuss the significance of today's youth being involved in the elections.
Well, I think that not to be involved in the elections or in politics in some way, shape, or form it's a personal choice, but I think that it's an experience that you ought to have, partly as your duty as a citizen, and partly simply for your own education. Working inside the electoral machine, usually on voting day, because that's when most of the positions come up, and you know, there will be 250,000 Canadians working the polls next Monday, or on election day.
Right.
And I'll be one of them. So there's a very, very large number of Canadians involved in administering a federal, especially, election. And what is always odd to me is how little it's known. So-and-so down the street, he's a deputy returning officer. Well, nobody actually knows what that is until you show up in front of your neighbor, Fred, and he says, "All right, while I'm looking at your identification, please state loudly and clearly your name and address." Why? You're looking at it. Consider it a skill testing question.
That's true.
But the Canadian electoral system is actually a miracle of organization, and the miracle is that it produces an effective result because it's under-resourced. It tends to be organized under very heavy time pressure. And essentially, below the national level, it's all done by amateurs.
But that certainly makes a difference, having people that help in terms of the organization and that are actively involved in the process. I feel that every person makes a difference. And I strongly feel that it's remarkable and impressive that we have such a dedicated team of people here in Canada who want to contribute and want to proceed by making a difference.
Yeah, and it's difficult for students to get involved in that because they're normally not living in their home riding.
Right.
In a couple of the Ontario elections, we tried to do outreach to the campuses, Ryerson and U of Toronto.
Yes.
And get them involved in doing election work. We didn't have a great deal of success simply because of the pressure of studies and the fact that a lot of them, in fact, aren't living here. But our student liaison person got together, I remember, quite an enthusiastic cadre, and they got a good voter turnout at the campus polling stations.